Okay, so yesterday we did really a very quick overview of Amir Lanachre, but even though I expect those of you who are not here to listen to it, let me briefly summarize it. So basically, the Shittot are, you have the Smag, who takes the Mechilta as the Araisa, that...
Do you remember that? By the Korah sandwich.
Right, that he reads Lo Ye, instead of understanding it primarily is about doing Malacha, he reads as Lo Ye Aseh, Malacha shall not be done, and understands that biblically there is a prohibition against destroying the ambiance of Shabbos or having Malacha performed. That's the Smag. We don't pask in this way. It is quoted. He's quoting a Mechilta, but the Ramban assumes it's Der Rabbanan. The Beis Yosef says that's the majority of positions. Fine. Then you have two positions within Rashi in different places. In one place, Rashi says it's Shlichos L'Chorma. Namely, it's a considered agency that if I ask a guy to do something for me on Shabbos, so at least L'Chorma on a rabbinic level, it's as if I did it, right? Therefore, because of agency. Now, obviously, biblically, it's not. You need to do the Malacha yourself. The other, he says, is that it is a violation of Vidaber Davar, which is Yishayahu Nunchet, where Yishayahu says that in addition to not performing Malacha, you can't talk about doing Malacha. And obviously, if I ask someone, please do Malacha for me, so that is talking about Malacha. Now, the difference between these two is this one's focusing on the action, and this is on the instruction. Right? And as we said, the Achronim suggest that the Nafkamina between this would be, right, the two main Nafkaminas, there are many, are what?
So let's say you go to a restaurant, okay?
And you two Nafkaminas.
We did this yesterday, between saying it's...
Talking about it on Shabbat.
Nafkamina, what is the difference between these?
Yeah, you said that it makes a difference if you... One's saying you're going to do it, one's actually doing it.
No. What is the practical... Yeah?
You said it makes a difference if you say you give him instruction to do... If you say him to do an act before Shabbos... If you say him to do an act before Shabbos and he does it on Shabbos itself...
Right? Is that there's is an Nafkamina in two directions. Is what happens if I ask him on Friday to do it on Shabbos or I ask him on Shabbos to do it on Motzei Shabbos? Right? So, if I ask him on Friday to do it on Shabbos, it should be usher according to Shlichus because it focuses on when the action is done. Mm-hmm. But mutter if it's about the instruction because I asked him to do it on Friday and vice versa. And I ask him on Shabbos to do it on Motzei Shabbos, right? So then if it's about the instruction, it'd be usher. If it's the action, it'd be mutter. Now, there are Rishonim who break down here. So we said that Alpi Shulchan Aruch, both are usher.
No, but
and therefore,
the instruction is usher. Is yes, mutter.
Not correct, but Lalocha we pass, and both are usher, right? Whether we ask on Friday to do on Shabbos or Shabbos to do on Motzei Shabbos, which means that the Avnei Nezer takes it, we hold both of these, or as I suggest, it's not quite predictive, but fine. Then you had the Rambam, which the Rambam says two things. He's Shalote Shabbat Kalabe Nehem V'Avot La'aso Batzman. Shabbos won't become light in your eyes, and you will come to do the Malacha yourself. And as we saw, the Meiri. We don't want Shabbat to be kala. We don't want Shabbat to be light in your eyes, and we're worried you're going to do it yourself. The Meiri focuses on this. That what we're really worried about is that it's a gzera that you might do the malacha, right? If I get used to telling you, turn on my light, turn on my light, turn on my light, whatever, pick your goyish name that we had yesterday. I find which goyish name?
Isabella.
Shaniqua.
Isabella, fine. Isabella. If I get used to Isabella turning on my light every Shabbos, then when she's not there, I might do it myself. The other is to focus on Shabbat Benehen. And really the problem is that Shabbos will be light in my eyes, right, and connected back from the Rabbanan level to the Smag, right, that it destroys the ambiance of Shabbos, okay? That was what we did yesterday. We noted another nafkamina possibly to this is what about mitzvah, right? Is that if it's about daver davar, then it makes sense that it might be mutter to tell a guy to do something for a mitzvah, because in general the halacha is only chafatzecha asurim, right? You know, from the song that's summarizing the halacha, right? Again, none of you knows Mirot well enough here, apparently, right? Right? Here, hurim mutarim, right? Go ahead. Right? Meaning, hirurim mutarim. Right? Hirur is mutter, but not Right? But you can't do, correct, but you can't do cheshbonot. You can be mishadei chabanot because it's a mitzvah. Right? And therefore you are allowed to talk about malacha l'shem mitzvah. Right? By the way, when it says l'shadei chabanot, everyone thinks, oh, it's a mitzvah to talk about shidduch chabanot. That's not what it means. Right? What it means is that even when shidduch chabanot requires monetary deals, right? I mean, what it's doing is cheshbonot or asurim. Normal monetary transactions are asur, but to talk about marriage, which required, especially until the recent modern period, talking about specific numbers in the dowry, right? And things like that, I mean, specific, right? The marriage wouldn't happen unless you pinned down the money, right? Or to quote the cynical line by, you know, a certain member of the American Congress, it's all about the Benjamins. Whatever. Benjamin's the $100 bill. Yeah, anyways. Anyways, fine. But that's what that really means. Fine. That was a summary. Now, the next, again, this is a really truncated version of Mirla Nachre, and I, as I said, trying to figure out exactly what's mutter, we said Remez Lahalacha is Asur on Shabbat, Shon Shabbat. You can't even hint to somebody to do Malacha for you, but you can hint not on Shabbos, right? Like Motzei Shabbos, say to your Goyish neighbor, it was really dark in my house today. It was really dark in my house today.
He's not going to care until next week, and then he probably forgets.
Correct, and that's fine. That's fine. Right? Remez not on Shabbos is Mutter. Remez on Shabbos is Usur. Again, I don't know how many times I have to reiterate this, but everyone thinks that hinting is Mutter. Hinting is Usur.
Remez not on Shabbos is saying you're allowed to drive a car now.
No. You're not allowed to tell a guy on Friday, turn on my light on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you aren't even allowed to hint to him and say, right, it's really dark in this room. You can't do that.
Right.
But on Motzei Shabbos, you could say to the guy, you know, it was really dark in my house on Shabbos.
What's the point?
So that next Shabbos, when it's dark, he'll turn on the light.
Why can't you just tell him, turn on the light?
Because that's Amir L'Nachri, because we paskin that you're not allowed to tell someone, even not on Shabbos, to do malacha on Shabbos.
Let me tell him, if you find the room...
You're allowed to hint, not on Shabbos.
Like, oh, there was no
What if you
no
tell
light.
Him, if you find it dark, turn on a light?
What?
If you find it dark wherever you go, turn
No, you can't do that. That's Amira.
You're not implying it for yourself.
No, that's Amira. That's telling you. You can't do that. You can't do that. Again, this is why people get this wrong. Again, if someone tells you that you're allowed to hint to somebody on Shabbos, you can do a malacha, they are wrong. They're irredeemably wrong. Okay? Irredeemably wrong. Just tell that to their... No, don't. Well, yes, actually, maybe tell it to their face, but be politer than I would be.
Is that regarding, like, stop malacha? Like, if I was in a hotel,
what are you doing?
Can I go down with it and walk down my room?
So hotels get a little bit complicated because one of the heterim that people bring up is that it might be for themselves, right? Because, right, the way Ryan Neuberger said is, if I call up a hotel 2 months in advance and say, I want to have a bar mitzvah in your hotel, and we are going to need a way of getting into our room, and we can't use key cards on Shabbos, right? And then you come to the hotel. So the hotel could either say, look, we're going to make sure that you have the rooms that still have the manual locks, or we're going to have a guy standing there to open the door to your room, right? In that case, you could argue that it's not for you, because from your vantage point, you would just as happily have a manual key. It's for them, because they want to be able to host the bar mitzvah and make the money off the 20 rooms, 50 rooms, 100 rooms, right? But they don't want to change the door, and therefore they're going to put a guy to open the door, right? That might be considered for them, because you'd rather it not be done al derech malacha. The fact they're doing al derech malacha might be mutter, right? That's one of potential arguments. There is a bit complicated, right? And the way people really don't understand the halachot, and in hotel they do it wrong all the time, right? Because people will also go down and say, it's really dark in my room, or I forgot to turn off the light. It's too bright in my room to go to sleep. You can't do that. Right? You can't do that. Right? Because people don't know halacha. That's why. You can't do that. That's called Remez on Shabbos. Remez on Shabbos is Usur.
You have to clarify. In Shul it's different. He's probably going to say...
On Shul it might be different with Makom Mitzvah. Right? Because Makom Mitzvah, the Rabbim, the Mishnah Berurah says it's Mutter. Right? What?
To Milan. We go to a hotel for Pesach, and I come to Milan because I work. Sometimes situations occur.
Correct. So the Ramah quotes the Itter, the B'makom Mitzvah, it might be Mutter.
And I don't think running a day camp is
Mutter. No, so the, and then the Mishnah Berurah says, B'makom Mitzvah de Rabim, then it would be Mutter, right? If you have the combination. So like when it's the Shul, right?
Okay.
Now again, not everyone is thrilled with this, right? I know that in Toronto this was a big machlokes because certain people.
Same word apply now.
Well, maybe.
Because I guess yes.
Why is it different?
Well, because the things that you can't do on Yom Tov are very different than Shabbos.
Correct, and turning on a light on Yom Tov is
Derabanan.
It's probably Derabanan, right? I mean, again, if you think that it's Bona like Chazanesh, fine. But let's say even an incandescent light bulb, even, right? Which would be Daraisa on a normal day, is not Daraisa on Yom Tov, because Havara is only us. I mean, Derabanan because of Molid,
right?
Because yes, and this, unless you guys really want to get bogged down to it, which I'm okay with, really I am, if you guys want to do it, but Amir Lenachri and Derabanan is different, right? All of this is Daraisas, right? Once you're in Derabanan, a different set of halachot start of come into play. Okay? But before we get into the Pratim, let me set out what we want to do today, which is Isser number 2. And then if you want, we can come down and do more Pratim, but look, it takes a few extra days before we get out of the Perek, that's fine. As long as we finish the Perek before Pesach, I'm fine. Right? You know, that's fine. I don't think we need to start a new Perek before Pesach. I don't think we're going to. Meaning, if we finish before Pesach, either we're going to do a Pesach Sugya, or we'll start doing tefillas, we'll do like koshering kelim or something, which is an avodah zarah sugya, which also happens to be a Pesach sugya, right? But like we're not realistically, like we have like 2.5 weeks till Pesach. Yeah, I'd rather finish the perek and start, you know, do a different one for kayets and zeo.
No, I mean this break, not Pesach, it's like 2 weeks after.
Well, dang, but yeah, still, how much time? No, we don't have so much time. It's like 2 weeks away.
What is?
Pesach, 2.5 weeks.
Pesach break
is 2 weeks from Thursday.
Okay.
Pesach break is fine. The last day of Zman is 2 weeks from Thursday. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks from Thursday.
I think so. A month after, so.
Wait, it's only the 4th we're starting.
Isn't that 2 weeks from Thursday?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Donnie acts. He says it like, no, isn't it this way? Even though it was the right way, so he's still
literally
trying.
Literally, what we said.
Yes, 2 weeks from this Thursday. Okay.
Or 1 week from Tuesday.
Like a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
They said we're going to go over the halachot for Pesach in terms of what we're doing with the dorms, with the kai, and like that.
Okay.
We haven't done it yet.
You have. How much time do you think it takes to give you a basic rundown of what you're supposed to do with your dorm?
Why does it always say before the Chagim you learn a month before?
Is it a month before yet?
It's about to be.
Yeah, but it isn't.
It isn't.
And we're not going to be here for 2 weeks, though. We have a break before Pesach also, as well.
Yeah.
That's also an issue.
Okay.
I mean, you're not addressing halachot if you're not yeshiva's not open for 2 weeks before Pesach.
Well, oh, no. You're right. We don't learn Torah once you're not
exactly.
Once you're on break.
If you're not in yeshiva and you're not in school, then Judaism is...
Torah just stops.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't say it stops.
So it's
not scheduled.
what you just said is that if it's 30 days before we leave yeshiva, because once we're out of yeshiva, that time doesn't count because we're not here, so we're not learning Teche.
It's impossible.
No Yiddishkeit, Rabbi.
Yes, as soon as it's Bein Hazmanim, you know, yarmulkes off, right?
No.
Go to beaches, you know, things like that. You know. What?
You, Belgian.
Me? What?
Go run on the beach, don't you?
I love going to the beach.
You like to, you say you're weird.
Okay, this discussion is ridiculous. Let's move on. Okay? Anyways, so this is one answer, but there is a second one. And this is what people really don't get, okay? As much as people don't understand Amir Lanachri, and we've only done the basics, people understand what I'm about to say even less than they understand Amir Lanachri, right? Which is, everybody assumes that the only problem is Amir Lanachri, namely telling the guy to do the malacha. The problem, as you had better be evident that this exists from our sugya, is that even if I don't tell the guy to do malacha, there are times when it is usher to benefit from melacha that a goy has done for you, right? Which is what creates our sugya. Because remember, in our sugya, You literally, you didn't tell the guy to do it, right? In fact, you might not even be benefiting, right? That's a third circle out, right? But clearly, part of the discussion there is what's called Hanna'am Yimelechet. Guy, I remember when I learned this from Willick, he's like, you need to understand this. People don't understand this. This is why they get it wrong. Okay? Now, let's prove this, okay? Turn to page 2. You know, this is not some achrein that, you know, came up with the Chumrah. It is a Mishnah. You know, the Tanaim. And no, Nachum, it is not Doraisa. It is, again, Derabanan. The reason, by the way, why do we not pass like the Smag? That it's, right? Because, Mi Doraisa, how do you violate Malacha? By doing it, yeah. That's basically what it comes down to, right? That it, there are such things, but in this case, God did not set one up, right? I mean, maybe Shabbaton, if you want to call it that. But fundamentally, the point is that on Shabbos, the focus is on you doing melacha. Right? Prove it to me, by the way. Prove it to me. Who, by the way, disagreed with what I just said? And we don't poskim like him. Big person, not like
a... What are we trying to prove again?
Prove to me that the Isser on Shabbos is doing malacha and not having malacha done.
This
is not a Gemara you've seen before. What? It's in Machlokes between two very important people. Yeah. Which Machlokes?
The one regarding...
Shvisas Kalim. Shvisas Kalim. Right, or Shvitat Kelim, meaning, is it prohibited to have your
utensils,
your vessels, running on Shabbat? And we paskin very much that it is permitted, because we paskin like Beit Hillel, right? Like Beit Hillel, you know this, right? Well, that might be different because, I mean, you can have it running. The question of whether, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't put anything in it.
I'm not fully sure why you'd leave your toaster on in
that's
the middle.
What I'm saying.
Right? But, as we all know, we leave our, right? Think about it.
Your
why is it?
Your lights, your anything you own?
You know, your dishwasher can possibly be mutter, right? Depending on it, right? There are so many things that we do, right, that are totally in this halacha that Shvitat Kalim is permitted.
I was going to say, if you left your stovetop on before, if you turned the stovetop on before Shabbat,
then you didn't violate anything. But if you put anything on the stovetop, we put you to death.
Your goy then makes himself some eggs for breakfast. And then if he offers you some, you're allowed to take it.
No, it's treif. It's bishalakum.
Wow.
No,
you turned the stovetop on though, before Shabbat.
You're Sephardi. Doesn't matter.
Even if you turn...
Correct.
A Jew has to
cook it.
Okay, but that's for Sephardi.
But you just asked me, and you always tell me that you paskin like the Sephardi Pesach, so...
No, I would never do this.
Yosef has clearly not been eating kosher food his entire life.
No, my family doesn't even like meat. We don't even get maids. That's the thing.
Yeah, this is a big problem, that most of the restaurants in Israel function on Ashkenazi... Or, definitely in America, function on Ashkenazi Pesach, and by Sephardi standards are treif.
Right, but in your case, you'd be allowed to do that, though? You'd be allowed to have extra...
No, the visual is a bit complicated, because there might be a different prohibition there, right? The answer is no, you can't do that, right? You can't do that, but that's more complicated as to why you can't do that. But on Yontif, it's awesome, and that's why on Yontif, go to the five towns on Shavuos. Woo!
Can't you?
I remember when I used to, in high school, I would go to the five towns. I went once, 11th grade, I stayed, you know, to be at Rambam for Shavuos. So we, first, my principal was teaching, was giving a shiur, my freeman was giving shiur at Young Israel Lawrence Cedarhurst. So you go in, and they have three tables. They have the parv dessert table, the dairy dessert table, and then the hot food waiters making you omelets in the middle of the night to order during the whole thing. So people would start there, and then they would walk down the block to Beth Shalom, where they had an all-night barbecue. So what people did, they literally learned nothing. You would saw all these people. They started. They had a cheese omelet, dairy dessert, walked over to Beth Shalom, had a barbecue, and came back to Young Israel Lawrence Cedars for the parv desserts. So, on Yontif, besides for the fact that, you know, maybe you should be learning if you're staying up all night, on a Yontif level, that's fine, because you know how to cook.
I couldn't, my friend was asking what it was called, and I couldn't remember the name.
What?
Meldado is what we call it in
in Spanish, it means all-nighter.
I was just like, what just happened there? I missed something.
Staying up all night, I'm thinking, oh yeah, I was trying to figure out that word, and it suddenly just came back to me.
We call it Tikkun Leil Shavuot, which of course is wrong, because originally, Tikkun Leil Shavuot literally was a text, right? Just like Tikkun Chatzot is a formal text.
You say we read that, we don't
They don't just stay up all night, they actually stay up saying certain things, but fine. That's fine.
And you have those crazy Spartan on Pesach.
There really aren't so many hours. To stay
really
what do we do here, Shavuos? Are we still here, Shavuos?
Yeah.
What do we do?
I mean, we don't have all night learning.
You know, I
have not. Speaking, we just have.
You do it on Sukkot either.
Chakras at Anates, and then we have a 5-hour share until midday because.
That thing.
Because Ramban.
Yeah. Okay, discussion for another time. Fine.
Dabla is also very short. You can do it.
Okay. So, turn to page 2. Look at the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Beis. So, if you don't believe me, and that no one gets this halacha right, then let's look at the Mishnah and see why everyone's wrong. I hate saying that, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's just true. Do I hate saying it? It's a good question.
I think you like
probe it psychologically.
Note that he's smiling while he's thinking
about
it.
You don't like
so
the fact that there's truth behind that statement.
Yeah, that's really...
You're thoroughly enjoying the fact that you're able to say everyone's wrong.
And now I can educate all of you so that you will not get this wrong and violate Isurim. Deep breath. Okay.
We talked about the cooking thing. That was with Chag itself or Chol HaMoed? I thought
Chag.
Chag. Yeah, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to cook. You can cook on Chag, right?
Yes.
Yeah. There's no problem with.
Correct. And that's why you can also have non-Jews cooking for you because hey, you could do it also.
Oh, I see.
And that's why on Pesach at Shimon's Pesach Hotel, except for the fact that it's Shabbos this year, so good luck.
Well, just for the first day.
Oh. And the last day.
Yeah, I know that. I remember that. The first time that happened, I was much younger. And I came downstairs and I was like, why is everything pre-made and gross? I was like, then the next day, I got them all made for myself. I'm typically too lazy, though. It's such a waste of time. Let's go just scoop out some scrambled eggs.
No, it's the best. Get a.
I know, it's fun.
To make them yourself is like 10 seconds.
No, but like they have a guy who makes it.
They have a guy making it with good cheeses, good vegetables.
Yeah.
Good times. It's geschmack. Geschmack.
Good stuff.
Yeah, okay.
If you ever become a rabbi, get a job at a Pesach Hotel and staying like a scholar residence. That's probably the greatest thing. Your wife will thank you for it too. She'll have to do zero.
Yeah, Aura's not really into it, but I'm totally into it. If someone invites me to a Pesach Hotel, I would strongly consider doing that.
I'll put your name.
Thank you, Shiva. I don't know if Aura would go, but yeah, whatever. Okay.
You don't mind.
I don't mind. Nachri shehidlik et aner mishtamesh l'oro Yisrael. Okay, so the Mishnah says that if a guy lights a candle for himself, so then the Jew is allowed to use it. V'im bishvil Yisrael asur. But if it's for the Jew, it is prohibited. Rashi clarifies, mi derabanan. Again, this is not biblical, this is derabanan. We don't baskin like the smog. Fine. Mile mayim lashkot behemto. If he fills up water for his animal, why is that a violation of halacha?
Because water itself can be have benefits. Or that too far.
You asked me, should we do the Rashis? I said, yeah, that would be a good idea. Good. So now you did the Rashis. Good. What does he say?
Nachum, you know the Rashi, right?
No. I did.
Because one of the 39 halakot is Hotzah Mirashut Rashut, is carrying from one domain to another.
Oh,
and a water pit, which is big enough, is a
Rishut
HaYachid.
I knew because I learned my rabbis.
And all around it is the Rishud Harabim. So if you take water, you have your animal and you want water, so you put your pail in here and you get water, and then you take it out and bring it over here, then we stone you to death.
Yes.
You know? So if a guy does it, we don't stone him because he's allowed to do it, but you can't use the water.
So according to this, there was a fence around.
So another... What do you mean? If he brings some Rishus HaRabim to another place, we stone him?
Correct. It's a death penalty, just like any of the other malachot. Yes, carrying, like the other 38 malachot, carries the death penalty. Which means, if we warn you and you say, please, Don't carry. Don't pick up that water. It's not worth being killed. And if you do it, you will be violating Lotasa Kol Malacha, and you, not you, now we need a good Jewish name. Mendel is, because you thought it was a non-Jewish name. Fine, whatever. Shmerel Beryl, whatever, I don't care. Right?
Yosele.
Whatever. Says, Almanatken Ani Yoseh, in full cognizance of the consequences, that's why I am doing this. So then they take him to court, and if he gets tried, they take him up to a, you know, ledge, throw him off, and if his neck doesn't break, then they throw rocks at him until he dies.
But they do the boulder first, and if that didn't work, then
they... Yes, first the boulder.
They throw a boulder down, and then they throw him down.
No.
They throw him, then a boulder, then rocks.
They put a boulder on top of him. That doesn't work. They throw rocks until he's dead.
Yes.
Why would you throw a boulder?
What? No.
That's just stupid.
I mean, you knew that Chil Shabbos carried the death penalty.
I know, but still, like, you're getting
I mean, that's what it is. It is Skila.
Belgium, they're Maple.
I mean, look, I'm not trying to be like... Look. When people say that, like, any system that has the death penalty is barbaric, like, you can't accept that as a halachic Jew. It's true that Chazal say that we try to avoid giving the death penalty as much as possible, but this is, in theory, on the...
Anything given by God, racist, barbaric, anything, because it was given by God. It is perfect. That is how it works.
Yes,
take
so like
westernized ideas, you stick them somewhere else. Yes, but I don't ever view
so
if something. If someone were to tell me that Judaism is racist, I'll tell them that they should go say that somewhere else because they're wrong. It was given by God, and you can't apply
God's
that.
God's not a racist.
Good, there you go. And therefore, if God, so
God is God.
And again, yes, it's true that Chazal say we limit the application of the death penalty as much as possible. That doesn't mean that it is not on the books, and doesn't mean it wasn't implemented, you know, when all the conditions were met. So yes, theoretically, carrying no less than burning a fire, or, you know, hunting an animal, or osishtei batei nirin, whatever the heck that is, something with a warp and woof, right?
Beautiful world. The halachic system was back in place.
Yes, wonderful. Okay.
They only, anyways, kill once every 7 years.
As I just said, Chazal say that they try to avoid it, and Sanhedrin, they killed more than once every 70 years. It was a killing bezdin, it's not a good thing, and Chanam, you try to avoid it, but this is still a law, and it wasn't like, it was, they tried to avoid it. That doesn't mean they just said, you know, we just don't like doing the death penalty. We're just not going to hear the case. That's not how it worked.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It may have been out of time when people actually cared.
I meant more like they only allowed once every...
No.
It just didn't happen that way.
It's not they didn't allow. If it came in, they had to judge each case. Right? La mito. If it happened, you know, then they would put people to death more often.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good thing. We don't like it happening. We'd rather people keep Shabbos. The death penalty isn't there because we like the death penalty. It's to encourage people not to violate laws. Okay?
So
good.
All the religious people keep Shabbos.
To all people, keep Shabbos. Okay, good. So now, Mile Maim Lashkot Behemto, Nachum, Mashke Achrav Yisrael, and Bishir Yisrael Asur. So, he says, if he filled up water for himself, so then... So right, if he fills it for the goy, is also, if he does it for himself, and, you know, whatever's left over, I don't know, he leaves in a bucket, so then you can give it to your animal. Because again, he did it for himself, and it's just waiting there. Kevesh le-reid-bo, right? If he made a ramp to go down. So Yorid Achrav Yisrael, the Jew can follow him. Right? So Rashi said, this is a go down from a boat. I know you have to leave, and whatever you...
I was just checking to make sure I didn't have to leave yet.
No, you still have 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. In Bishvil Yisrael Asur. Sorry, I said Nachri Kevesh Le'Reid Bo Yorid Achrav Yisrael. In Bishvil Yisrael Asur. Maaser Gamliel Uzkenim Shayuban Bishvina Vasan Nachri Kevesh Le'Reid Bo Yardu Rabin Gamliel Uzkenim. Right, so this once happened that they were on a boat, and the guy made a ramp to get off the boat himself, and Rabin Gamliel was there with Uzkenim, and he went off. So the Gemara says, why do you need all cases? Utsricha Diash Mina Ner Mishum Diner Lecha Ner Lemeya. So a candle, I might have thought. That even if he lit it for the Jew, it would be permitted, because since the nature of a candle is such that once it is lit, it benefits everyone equally, Right? Ner le'echad, ner le'meya means, right? A candle is for one, the same way it's for 100. So I might have thought that even if the non-Jew lit it for the Jew, it would be permitted because at the end of the day, everybody benefits equally, Jew, non-Jew alike. Kamash malan. That's not true, right? No, I'm sorry. We're at the other stage, opposite stage, right? Sorry, this is on the other halacha. That if a non-Jew lit a candle for himself, it is permitted because ner le'echad ner le'meya, right? Right, meaning, once a non-Jew lit a candle for himself, turned on the lights for himself, let's just say turn on the lights, it'll be easier, right? If a non-Jew turns on the light so he can read a book, so you might say, oh, well, obviously it's mutter for you to use that light, because like, the non-Jew didn't do anything for you, right? Turn on the light, and it doesn't matter, at this point, he didn't care how many people come into the room, right? He's reading his book in the light, right? But you might think that when the non-Jew drew water from the well and there was leftover, you might have thought that it would be forbidden for the Jew to use that water for his animal. Why? Because you're worried that he might increase the quantity of water so that the Jew could use the leftover. Kamash malan. We don't assume that he's going to do that when he's actually doing it for himself. Right? When he's actually pulling it for himself, it is mutter. The kevesh lamali, ma'aserim gamlils kenim gamash malan. What about the kevesh? Why do you need that case of the ramp? Because a ramp is identical to which case? The light. Right? Isn't a ramp identical to the light? Meaning, same thing. The guy makes a ramp so he can get off the boat, and it doesn't matter how many people come off. So Gemara says, you're right, we brought the ramp because it was the jumping off point for the story that happened. Avram Gamliel, this is Ganeman. We wanted to tell you a story to tell you that this actually happened. Fine. Tana Rabbana. Nochrei Shaliket Asavim. If a non-Jew collects grass, Ma'achil La'achrav Yisrael. So again, the guy, the Jew, can allow his animal to eat that after the non-Jew is done. V'im b'shvil Yisrael aser, and if it was for the Jew, it is prohibited. Mile mayim lahashkot behemto, mashkar achav Yisrael, v'im b'shvil Yisrael asur. Same thing with water. But then the Gemara says, b'med dvarim amurim she'ein makiro. When is this true? If you don't know him, you're not friends of a makiro aser. Right? Why? Because at this stage of the Gemara is worried about what's going to happen. Correct, meaning that he'll have you in mind. Right, Rashi says, it's that he'll have you in mind also. Right, at this stage in the Gemara, right, what does the Gemara introduce? That not only for a Jew is Asur, but also for a Jew is Asur.
Right,
meaning it's only Mutter if it's done exclusively for an Akum, and you're just getting the leftovers. So the Gemara says, is that true? Eini va amar Rav Huna amar Rabbi Chanina mamid adam behemto al gabe asavim b'shabbat avalo al gabe muktzah b'shabbat. Rav Huna said you are allowed to put your animal by grass which is connected to the ground, right? Because we're not worried that you're actually going to pull it out, right? But not on muktzah, because we're worried that you will carry the muktzah, right? Move the muktzah. So the Gemara says, it's a case. It's where so the Gemara says, how could you do this? Right? Isn't it mukta? Right? The water is. Isn't the water mukta? So you did it. No, whatever. It's a case where you turn away and you let them do it themselves. Fine. Okay. Amar Mar Bamedvar Mamurim, that's what we care about more. I'll leave the Muktzah discussion for another time. Amar Mar Bamedvar Mamurim Shein Makiro Vamakiro Asur. I Vaharam and Gamliel Makiro Have. So Amar Abai Shal Bafanab Have. I didn't the guy know Rabban Gamliel when he made the ramp. How did we know they were friends? Rashi just says, because they were stuck in a boat together for a while. They probably got to know each other, right? So the Gemara, so Rabban Gamliel, so Abaye says it was where he wasn't there. Right?
No, yeah.
And therefore he wasn't thinking about him. Like, yes, he was on the boat, but he wasn't standing there, so when the guy when the guy put out the ramp, right, he was thinking only about himself. Rava Amar Afilu Tema Befanav Ner Lecha Ner Lemeya. And Rava says, no, if it's Ner Lecha Ner Lemeya, it's a case where nothing is added for the Jew, then it is mutter even when they're friends. Right? So now we have a Machlokas Rav and Abaye, but now I just want to tease this out, okay? Nachum. Mm-hmm. What is clearly emerges from this Gemara? Clearly, what is the Isser and what is it not? This is not a trick question. I asked this at the beginning. This is not Amira Lenachri. How do I know? How do I know that the Isser at hand is not Amira Lenachri? No, it is not Amir Lenachri.
Because he's already
don't tell me it is. It is not.
It was never mentioned to him about it.
Because he never said anything.
He doesn't himself.
We're talking about a case where there was no instruction. No instruction whatsoever. Right? In fact, why is the guy doing all the things here? For himself. And the only question in halacha is what?
Can the guy benefit from it?
Correct. And is it considered having being done for the Jew? Now, according to Rava, the principle works as follows: anything which is ner le'echad ner le'meya, right? What's the halacha? It's mutter even if it's done correct. Even if you know the guy and he's doing it for you also. Right? Meaning, any case where the non-Jew does a single act, and that act benefits himself in the same way it benefits anyone who comes after him. Rava paskins that that's not called benefiting. Why? Because the guy did it exclusively for himself. The fact that other people benefit is irrelevant. Right? So therefore, he turns on the lights. Even if he knows that Jews are going to come in and read, it doesn't matter. The guy made the ramp to get off the boat. So, according to Rava, it doesn't matter that he knows the Jews are going to benefit. Because at the end of the day, he did it for himself, and he added no malacha for the non-Jew. Who disagrees with that? Abaye. Abaye says no. Even in a ner le'echad ner le'meya case, right? Like the ramp, right? Where building the ramp for himself or building the ramp for the Jew and himself is the same act. Abaye says it's only mutter if what?
If the Jew's not there.
So Abaye is even more extreme. But what does that mean? Clearly, what is the Isser being discussed here? Not Amir Lenachri, but Hanam Yimelech Goy. That there is an independent Isser of benefiting from that which a Goy did. Now this is, by the way, the problem on... Let's move back to our hotel case. And this is where people get this totally wrong. Right? If a non-Jew... comes if you say to your non-Jewish person at the desk in your hotel, yes, let's say you say nothing to him, but they just know that the Jews like having the lights on, off, whatever the case may be. Let's say on will be easier, off might be a negation, so fine, on, right? And they walk upstairs to turn on the light. What's the problem? Even if you said nothing, it is usher to walk into your room because it's hana'am yimelechet goy. There's an independent Isser. Right? Abaye is extreme. Abaye says, even if he's doing it for himself, if he has me in mind also, it's usher. Rava says that's not true. If he's doing it for himself, it's mutter. So let me give you an example that happened once when I was in Poland with Gush. So Rav Khan and Rav Gigi were our chaperones, and they needed something. The hotel had forgot to put something in the room, take something out, whatever it was, right? So the guy was going up and wanted to put it in the room, and he wanted, you know, Rav Gigi and Rav Khan to be with him when he went to the room, for whatever it was. I don't know exactly what the case was. Right? Rav Gigi and Rav Khan went with him in the elevator. Why? Why is that totally mutter?
Didn't the kid wait, who asked them? Who asked
them? The hotel wanted to get something from the room, put something in the room, whatever the case may be. Because they're going for themselves. The guy didn't want to walk to the fourth floor. Right? He's not going, he's not pressing the buttons in the elevator. Bichlal. Right? For Rav Gigi and Rav Khan. If they walked on the stairs, he would just be waiting for them upstairs. He's going up for himself. What?
You getting in an elevator is still a problem, isn't it?
Nope. So, okay, there are some Poskim who don't like this. Well, they say, the elevator adds weight. Certain Poskim don't think that's us. So let's leave that aside.
My family
right?
doesn't want to take an elevator, but they only say that now while they're not old.
Whatever the case may be. But the, But the, assuming you don't have that problem, and Rav Gigi and Rav Khan were not worried about that, right? That's a classic case. They're doing it for themselves, and you just come along for the ride, literally, in that case. Right? But if they come up, but that's why, if the concierge comes and presses the button for you, you know, without you asking, because they just know that Jews like going up in the elevator, and they don't want to get a Shabbos elevator, they'll just press the button for you.
What about taking to his whatever that
that's usher. That's Hanami Melechet Guy.
What is in the context of him taking you to his office? He used to come. He used to come for something. I don't know, something that's Mozart, but he keeps you in his car because big campus. I don't know what. That'd be okay. Also,
correct.
Because it's for it's from the
again. Assuming you're in the tomb. Assuming that the light doesn't go on when you open the door or whatever.
Yeah.
Correct. Again, there's Maris Ayin concerns, right? Yeah. Potential Maris Ayin concerns. Let's leave Maris Ayin aside because that's going to be our sugya. Remember, our sugya is Maris Ayin. So let's hold off on. But assuming you can solve the Maris Ayin problem, correct. Mm-hmm. By the way, that is what they do. Shari Tzedek, right? Shari Tzedek, unlike Hadassah, Shari Tzedek is run.
The hospital,
yes, yeah. The hospital is run by right. The Jewish doctors work on Shabbos, right? Kuach Nevesh. How do they get there?
Someone comes picks them.
Yeah, they have a non-Jew Jew drive them in a bus.
Well, isn't that
what? Shari Tzedek Hospital. The way that the Jewish doctors get to the hospital is that they have a non-Jewish bus which drives them.
Like on Shabbos opinion.
On Shabbos, correct? Right. Now, in that case, it might be mutter out of Mir L'Nachri. Right, because you know, whatever it is. But the point is that there's no issur in getting in that bus. Right, the issue there might be hanam lachid goy, blah blah. But let's say there was a non-Jewish doctor, right, who was driving anyways, right. So avada that would be, right. Again, tum blah 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 blah. That'd be mutter, right? Yes. Again, Maris Ayin, whatever.
So the factors that play into.
I have to deal with those issues, but I'm saying we've chinat melacha, right? In terms of melacha,
you'd be allowed to.
Right, or right, you know, or like in camp, I don't know, right, in camp, if you have a non-Jew who's working in, whatever, you know, they often have like a groundskeeper, right? Security. Whatever, right? Yeah, fine, security, that's a good one, right? There's a security issue in camp, right, and they want the director of camp to come with them. Now, the security guard's going for himself, he's driving in his little golf cart, right, to the other side of camp. And he wants the director of camp to come with him to, you know, there's a questionable person at the gate, right? I need to go check it out, but I want you to come with me to help to make it easier, right? And the non-Jew gets in his golf cart and drives across, right? So the camp director, again, assume let's put Maris Ayin on the side, right? Can go with him. He's not right. He's going for himself, right?
Right. But you could always find. The thing is, you're finding that, Rabbi.
He's only pressing for you because he doesn't want to get a shot.
So again, that's Ray Neuberger's thing, is that maybe if in advance you told them we want a Shabbos elevator and you gave them enough time to set up a Shabbos elevator, which is really not a big deal.
He doesn't want it, so he's pressing.
Correct. So that right. So that's Ray Neuberger's, and maybe then it could be considered he's doing it for himself, right? Because really, you want a Shabbos elevator. He doesn't want a Shabbos elevator, but he wants the business, right? But again, that's not always the case, right? Jews will stay in a hotel without a Shabbos elevator if it has like two floors or three floors, right? Like, you know, okay, a 15 floor hotel, maybe not, right? Maybe not.
That's the Du'a Kasher.
What?
Maybe there's a question there.
Yes, Lodzin. Okay. Good. But what do you see clear? Guys, this is only one Gemara. It's not so complicated. But what do you see clear in this Gemara?
That it's not Amira.
Correct. That in addition to the problem of Amira, there is a problem of benefiting from the malacha of the goy. And that is why people mess this up, right? People mess this up a lot because they forget. They never were taught the second category. And just in case you think that this is not halacha, you want a quick summary of it, right? Look on page 8, right? This is... right, quoted in halacha, right? We can skip everything and you can see that this is true. Eino Yehudi shedlik ara ner bishvil Yisrael asur lakol. Afilu mi shelohudlak bishvilo. If a guy lights a candle, turns on the light for the Jew, then no Jew in the world is allowed to use that light. Period. End of story. Right? Done.
How would a random Jew that walks in know that?
Next point, Rama. Ve'ein chiluk bazeh ben kotzav lo schar lo kotzav. It doesn't matter whether you paid him for it or not. Osha zeh bekabal v'schiros. Doesn't matter how you paid him. The whole of Yisrael nena milacha atzma b'shabbos aser b'chol inyan. Since you are benefiting from Allah on Shabbos, it is aser always. Period. Then he says, but if he did it for himself, or in some other permitted fashion, such as he did it for a sick person, right? That's another case, right?
That happens all the time.
Yeah. Correct. You need the nurse to come in, the nurse does it for the chole, and then you're in the room. Yes, you're allowed to read from that light. Fine. Or a child when it's necessary.
In the case of the
chole,
aren't you allowed to do it yourself?
Only if it's pikuach nefesh. Your amir l'nachri is mutter even with the chole she'en b'sakana sefashas. Again, these are very complicated, but lighting a fire is usher, right? That's the case here, right? Now he says v'yesh osrim b'medura mishum dekashin shem yavish v'ilu. Some people don't like it by a medura, by a bonfire, because you're worried that they'll add for you, which is usher. If a non-Jew does it, you don't have to. You don't just have to leave, right? This is the halacha, right? Let's say he did it illicitly, right? You didn't want him to, but he did it for you, right? I mean, let's say the guy came in and said, "Oh, you must be cold," right? And he lit a fire for you.
And you didn't say anything.
And I don't even want it, right? It wasn't like I hinted at it. He really came in and thought he was being nice. So then the halacha is you don't have to leave your house. Right?
Why if you turn on the light, if a stanchu walked in, how's he going to know that, oh no, this was turned on by, you're forbidden to benefit from it?
You have to tell him.
Oh, if you get the chance to, okay.
Right? Now the...
The question is, are you allowed to benefit from it?
No.
A random Jew doesn't
say... No, absolutely not. Whatsoever. Right? And he says, if he comes into your house and he's trying to be nice, and he turns on the heat just for you, right? Then you... So the halacha is, you don't have to leave your house. Right? Meaning, right, as the Mishnah Berurah says, right? Dako akshir kvar asa hayna Yehudi. Right? That's if it's already done, because my yeshlo yisrael latsa, what am I supposed to do? Lo jachol latsa me abayit b'shvil zevi, as in alabash l'asas kain. Right? Hey, you know, I don't make you leave your house, though I should tell him never to do that again. But this is going to be more relevant to our sugya. But Mishnah Berurah adds, but what happens if you see the guy going to turn on the heat for you? What's the halacha? You have to stop him. Right? This is where I'm telling you, people don't get this right. People think, oh, he did it, I didn't even ask him, it's fine. No, you have to stop him from trying to help you. Right? You must protest.
You mean that there should be a lot of cases, like you have a cleaning lady who
comes. And then the Mishnah Berurah adds, even if it's in the guy's house, right? He's like, I'm warm, but you're cold, so I'm going to turn on the light, I'm going to turn the heat for you. No! Right? Stop him! So, right?
So in other words, let me say you have like a cleaning lady who comes to your Shabbos, you have to actually know.
Right, and if he says, then the Mishnah Berurah adds, v'me'enu di oseh bal karcho, if the Jew, non-Jew says, no, I insist on making you comfortable. You know what you have to do?
Kick him out.
Yes, chayv l'garsho mi beso. Kick him out of your house. Don't help me. Get out of my house. You nice person. We hate nice people. Out. Right? And he says it doesn't matter if you hired him, it doesn't matter, right? And then if it weren't clear enough in Yud Beis, he says this isn't just your house. He says, "Im shachah shavat b'malon etalin didu b'kibesahu." If you're in a hotel, Same halacha. Yes, the Mr. Brewer is aware of such things as hotels, right? Hotels go back a very long time. What?
Rachav had a hotel.
Avram went to hotels, right? Malone, right? They're Malonot in Tanakh, right? Not like necessarily like Rachav, though it's not clear what Rachav had, right? Okay.
No.
Now, if you want to just see a summary of how does this play out? So continue here in Shulchan Aruch. Again, I don't want to get bogged down. The sugya should understand how this plays out a bit. Yisrael ve'inam yudim shesebu yachav v'zlikenu yudun ne'er. So the halacha is, let's say you have Jews and non-Jews who are eating together. So, and the non-Jew turns on the light. So now what's the halacha?
It's
correct. So im rov einam yehudim mutl shamish lo rov. If most of the people eating in the meal are not Jewish, then you're allowed to use the light. Vim rov yisrael ofil mechzal mechzal. If it's 50-50 or primarily Jewish, it is prohibited. Vim yesho chochot shorchen yehudim madlika. Gonchan rov shamish lo rov. Abishar rov yisrael mutter. Unless, what's the exception? If you can prove that he did it for the non-Jew. So, for example, the classic case is...
What do you mean?
He did it for himself, right? Meaning if a non-Jew is eating the meal himself, right? It's not the waiter for everybody else, but the non-Jew is doing it for himself, what's the halacha? It's mutter, because we always assume that when someone does it for himself, they have themselves in mind first and foremost, right? So if someone, if you're sitting with a bunch of people at a meal, and the, you know, by the way, this is like the old, right? This is like the old classic heter, which is actually mutter, right? Which is, you forgot to turn on the light in your bathroom, right? I remember this happening once in my parents' house, right? And there was like a mailman or something who needs the bathroom, right? Mm-hmm. So you can let him use your bathroom and he'll turn on the light for himself and say, leave it on, right? You're allowed to do that.
You're allowed to tell him to leave it on?
Yeah. To leave it on, not to turn it on, to leave it on, right? Meaning he goes in and turns it on for himself, right? Even if the majority of the people are going to use the bathroom after this are Jews, it doesn't matter because he clearly turned it on for himself. Right, he needed the bathroom, and you let him use your bathroom. So that gets a little bit tricky, right? But if he goes in and clearly turns it on, right, you can yell, "But leave on the light." You can do that, right? The Ramah adds, "Yesh Omer Demutel Omer Lein Yud Lad Lekloner Lusud Shabbos Mishum Dizri." So this is something we mentioned, right? The possibility of mitzvah being different. Now the exception, by the way, I won't read this inside, but this was classic in the this is like the classic case in Psak. Heating is actually a bad example because in Europe when it was freezing and you know their houses really had worse insulation than ours did, so we say hakol cholim etzel hatzina, everyone is going to be sick because it's dangerous to be in that type of cold. So then it might actually be mutter to have the guy turn on the heat. So heat is not a great example. No, it have to be tzakonis nevashos mamish. But we're willing to tell a guy, right? Meaning it's close enough to be goach nevash that we're willing to tell the guy, right, to do it. But again, that's a different story. The questions of you know the quasi chole, quasi whatever, you know, I want to leave that on the side. Okay. But what is? Okay. Now, why is this Usher very quickly? Why is it Usher in addition to Amir Lanachri? So why is it Usher not only Amir Lanachri, but is it Mutter to benefit from this? I'm sorry, why is it Usher? So the Mishnah Berurah says this is a Kain Gzera L'Gzera, which is Dimye Mutter Lehanos Yomer Lalahadlik. Right? Meaning, remember we talked about this last week, that sometimes we actually do make second-order gzeirot, especially when you're dealing with Yisurei Kares and Misa and Shabbos and stuff like that? According to Mishnah Berurah, this is an example of that, which is that Amir L'Nachri is Derabanan, and Anami Lechet Goy is Gzeirot L'Gzeira. Is, we don't want you to tell the Goy to turn on the lights, and therefore, we don't let you benefit if he did turn on the light. It's Gzeirot L'Gzeira. Again, right, we talked about this last week, right, that this is...
What did you say again?
What?
I didn't hear you.
What?
What were you saying about the gezeirah to the gezeirah?
Right, meaning, now the question is, okay, why is it usher to benefit from the melacha of a goy, even in a case where I didn't tell him to do it? Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests that it's because it is a gezeirah that you might tell him to do it. The problem is, this is Xera Lexera, because Amir Lenachri is only Dirabanan, and therefore,
can't put it on the fence,
not benefiting from that which a guy does. Xera, because you might end up telling the guy to do it, which itself is only Dirabanan.
So it's be on a
except you didn't
correct, and that was why we talked about last week, that as much as there is this rule, ain't goes in Xera Lexera, it is not always true.
Oh, right? This is one of our exceptions.
Right? Correct. Right? That by Shabbos, that was one of the exceptions. Again, we talked about this last week, which supports the contention that this is not a...
Did you see this case regarded him turning doing something without you telling him anything?
What?
This Xera is now about you benefiting from something that he did on his own. Wasn't necessary. You didn't tell him to do it.
Correct, but it's Xera you might tell him. Now, this is from the Rashba. Right? The Rashba is the one who said this originally. Right? The Rashba is the one who argues this. Okay. There is another reason, however, which is... so, if you look, where did they put this? Okay, so they put another summary on this sheet from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Turn to page 15. Turn to page 15 very quickly. Right? Here we have, oh, we have 10 minutes. That's fine. So he argues, or he gives you a little summary. He writes, look at note Kof Chav Dalet. You see note Kof Chav Dalet? So he says, Ayin Vesimin Reish Ayin Vav Sif Aleph, but the Shin Chav Hei Sif Vav, Atam She'asr Lehanas Melechah Shabbos, Gam Nesai Dei Nachri L'Rashi L'Ran, She'lehenem Imelocha Anaseis B'Shvil Yisrael B'Shabbos, Lutosuz Ramaraj B'Shvil Yomer L'Nachri L'Asa B'Shabbos L'Ochim B'Shabbos L'Tzorach Motzei Shabbos Kodesh. So, he says that according to Rashi and the Ran, he argues that the real Isser is that there's a fundamental problem, right? It's not Xera Atu Amir L'Nachri, it's that Chazal don't want you benefiting from Malacha. That's it. Right? That's the nature of the Isser. Right? It's sort of like the smog that we talked about, right? That on a Dirabanan level, we have this problem of result-oriented. Right? It's not that we're worried you're going to tell a guy to do the Malacha. It's that we actually don't want you benefiting from Malacha. L'das Rashi V'ran Asur L'Nas Motzei Shabbos Kodesh Ad Shir B'Kodesh Shiyasu Malacha Zu. Right? In addition... To the fact that Hanafkamina Bishantamahu be Israel Shahsamalakha Bashabas Bishogig. He says one of the Nafkaminas will be this is a bit complicated, but there is a machlokes. The halacha is that if a guy does something biser, not only can't you benefit on Shabbos, you can't benefit even Motzei Shabbos Kadeshiyasu. What does that mean?
He did it on Shabbat and it's
the amount of time that it would take to do it on Chol. Right, meaning if it would take half an hour, then you can't benefit until half hour after Shabbos. Right, if it was done on Shabbos, right? Now, that is the halacha if a goy does it. What if a Jew does it?
Mm-hmm.
Like b'shogeg. A Jew does it b'shogeg. Right?
Shogeg is more rebellious.
So this is a machlokas. Rashi thinks that you can't benefit it just like a non-Jew. Why? Because of Shlomo Zalman notes, he thinks that there is a isser to what? Right, the nature of the Isser is that we forbid you from benefiting from Halacha done on Shabbos, and therefore, one of the ways that manifests itself is that not only on Shabbos you can't benefit, but Motzei Shabbos you have to wait the amount of time until it would be done, and that makes no difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. But if you think the problem is what? That I can't benefit from Halacha done on Shabbos, a Gzera that I might tell the non-Jew to do it, so what if a Jew does the Halacha on Shabbos b'shogeg? Should I have to wait after Shabbos? Because they should ask you?
Yeah.
No, because no one's ever going to ask a Jew to do Malach on Shabbos. Right? The Jew did it by accident. That's a problem.
Right.
But no one's ever going to ask him. Right? So therefore, this is a machlokes haposkim. We paskin. Right? Most poskim paskin. Right? Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos. Not like Rashi. Namely, that if a Jew accidentally does something on Shabbos, you can benefit immediately after Shabbos.
Jews can't benefit from Shabbos.
Correct. Now, what happens, another Nafkamina, he says, is if the non-Jew does it for you, then you have to wait Kadesh Yasu. What if the non-Jew does the Malacha for Nachum, can Yosef benefit immediately after Shabbos? So, if it's about benefit, right, there's an objective problem with benefit, so then should Yosef be allowed to use it?
No.
No. But what if it's a problem because gzeira that you might tell the guy to do it? So then what if the guy did it for Nachum? Is Yosef allowed to benefit immediately after Shabbos? Yes. Yes. Right? So that's Nafkamina 2 that Shlomo Zalman suggests. Okay, I'll leave the one about Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, he brings a few other nafkaminas, but that should at least make the point clear, right? That there really are two models, right? One is to say this is an extension of Amir L'Nachri, right? That we don't want you to do Amir L'Nachri, and therefore we also are even benefiting, even without Amira. The other is to say, no, there's a fundamental derabanan problem with benefiting. Nafkamina b'kdei she'asu. He brings another one, is a mumar, right? Is can I benefit from something that a Jew who is Mechal Shabbos did, right, on Motzei Shabbos, right? Or do we treat it like that which a Goy did? So he says, if it's about the benefit, right, the very fact that I can't benefit from something that was done b'malacha on Shabbos, then what's the halacha? Then it'd be usher. But if it's about Amira, then I'm worried you're going to tell someone to do it. Again, we're not worried that you're going to tell a Jew, even one who isn't Shomer Shabbos, to do malacha for you on Shabbos, and therefore, as soon as Motzei Shabbos hits, you should be allowed to benefit. Right, so those are three of the nafkaminas that Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests to these two. The Yom Tov Sheni one is very complicated. I have Shira on it online if you're interested in the exact way that this will manifest itself from in Yom Tov Sheni. Okay. We'll continue this a little bit tomorrow. Yeah, I don't think we're going to have time to articulate some of the other things. Are we clear on this, though, right? The main takeaway is actually not so complicated, right? Main takeaway is that, in addition to the Isser of Amir L'Nachri, meaning actually instructing a non-Jew to do Malacha, you also can't benefit from that which a non-Jew did, unless he did it for primarily non-Jews, which either means he did it for himself, a group of people which are majority non-Jewish, or he did it for himself, and you just benefit as a tag-along. Why is it Asur? So either, according to Rajba, it's an extension of Amir L'Nachri, or no, it's fundamentally problematic. We don't want you to benefit from Malacha Dan HaJabbis. Nafkamina, as Shlomo Zalman suggests, are if a Jew did it b'shogeg on Shabbos, or a mumar did it on Shabbos, meaning people who you would never ask to do malacha, do you have to wait Motzei Shabbos before you benefit? If it's about gzeira that you might tell them, no, because you're not going to tell a Jew to do it for you on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. If you think that it's about, I'm not allowed to benefit from anything done on Shabbos, and kdei she'asu is the way we sort of clear the board, right, by saying, look, I benefited half an hour worth of time by having this done on Shabbos rather than Motzei Shabbos, so wait till half an hour has passed. Right, if you think the problem is you can't benefit from that done on Shabbos, then it doesn't matter who did it, Jew, non-Jew, shogeg, mazid, doesn't matter. Right, you're going to have to wait till we clear that time span so that it's no longer as if you're benefiting from it on Shabbos. Okay,
so you're not allowed to benefit it then.
That is a machlokes haposkin. That's what I'm saying. That is a nafkamina. Right, nafkamina means it is in the right is an implication of this discussion. Okay, tomorrow we'll deal with a few other things. One of the important things, the halacha, which I think is worth you seeing again, just to get a basic grounding, is the possible difference between negative and positive benefit. Right, turning on a heat or turning off heat, things like that. Right, is there a difference? We'll deal with it just because. In prior we're here, I should give you some of the halacha lemaisa stuff, and then we'll get back to our sugya, okay?